everybody, and welcome to the Pit Hips Podcast. This is episode 166. I am the host, Angelo, and I am here with my co-host and Nat.
Yeah, get him! And Nat! Go Stellars!
Because of Nat.
Yeah, it's your co-host, Nat.
So, that's Will.
Yo.
And that'd be Mike.
Hey, guys.
And we are the Pit Hips.
We are.
We talk about Magic the Gathering.
Sometimes. We get off track a little bit.
Quite often.
We talk about magic related topics.
Right.
Try to.
Try. We get sidetracked. So we are going to start there right away at GP Minneapolis, where there was no coverage this weekend.
Shocker.
Damn. Right. And we had 1,530 players.
Now, there's some grinders up in the north, or what, the
Midwest?
Midwest.
Thank you. Yeah.
Midwest.
Okay. So it was standard?
It was standard. Okay. There was 421 players that made day two. Our archetype breakdown from the top 100 players of day one was 17 green-white tokens, 11 Bant Company, 11 mono-white humans, and 10 Grixis Control. No other deck cracked more than 10 copies.
Wow, this Grixis Control deck continues to make traction.
It does.
Cletus is very good right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
and like Radiant Flames and then some Jace.
Right.
Just Jace.
Our top eight did have, four completely different decks in it.
Oh, okay.
So, yay.
Somewhat variation?
Yes.
Not as much as Modern, but it looks nice.
It's, I don't know. We'll talk about
Modern
it.
Modern had, two GPs had seven different decks in them.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in a bit. Max, McVetti, he arrived with, White Humans.
Okay.
But he lost to Mr. Alexander Johnson, who showed up with, Green White Tokens. And he loses 2-0. Owen Turtenwald.
That guy's really good.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
he was on white-black control, and he lost to Matt Severa 2-1, and Severa was on Bant Humans. Nice. Kind of a new take on an old deck.
Probably Reflector Mage and Dromoka's Command.
Pretty much!
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
the two things you want.
Interaction.
No, yeah. You get, like, Duskwatch Recruiter.
Yeah.
And you also get... Oh, shit, what's the name of the card? The one that scries for everything.
Oh, the green card. Oh, Duskwatch Recruiter. You already talked about that. Sorry.
Well, no, the clue guy as well.
Oh, sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Tireless Tracker.
Yeah, that's yeah. It.
That guy's
so the blue's mainly just for the,
The blue quite literally is just for one card.
Yeah.
It's Reflector Mage.
Any counterspells on the board?
Which I don't think so. We'll check it out later. Okay. Shota Takao. He goes 2-0, and Takao was on Bant Humans as well. And that was over Reed Hartman, and Hartman was on green white tokens. Slight bit of an upset there. Andrew Ellenbogen.
It means elbow in German.
Okay, he goes 2-1, and he was on Bant Humans, and he beats Yuya.
Oh.
Yuya who?
Watanabe.
Literally, first name Yuya. Yeah, that Yuya.
He beat Yuya.
Wow.
This is a good topic. I don't know why Yuya decided, you know, let's just fly to the middle of the U.S. and, you know,
maybe he's still here from the Pro Tour?
But that was a month ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Dude, he probably has couches he can crash on infinitely.
Too. It was like the whole team came.
Yeah.
Wow. And he was on Bant Humans as well, so.
Is there some string of GPs that's in the United States coming up?
Like, no, next week's Costa Rica.
That's the United States.
Yeah, I guess.
we'll invade there eventually.
It's not the continental U.S.
It's about as far from Minneapolis as you could possibly be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and still be in North America.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe they wanted to fly from Japan to America to Costa Rica and just make their way around the world.
That sounds fun.
Doing
yeah,
GPs.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
Especially if you're making money doing it.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, I'm going to work.
So Alexander Johnson with his, with his White Humans deck does beat Matt Severa's Bant Humans. Shota Takao's, Bant Humans.
Andrew Elbow.
He, beats Elbow, as Will calls him.
I'm telling
and
you.
And his Bant Humans.
Ellenbogen.
So, Alexander Johnson wins it with his, white human deck.
Slight correction, green white tokens.
Oh, green white tokens, I'm sorry.
That's okay, yeah, he played against white humans
yeah,
in the
Yeah, he played
in
against, in the quarter, correct. My bad.
Oh, it's okay,
right.
everyone gets
on
one.
The mind.
Yeah, I did it twice though. So, I mean, the green white tokens deck is the green white tokens deck. It makes very small changes here and there, but for the most part, it's what you expect. Not really something we need to
I feel like this is
really talk
the
about.
Most straightforward, one of the most straightforward approaches to the format.
Yeah, you have like what, two flex spots you can change?
Well,
roughly?
No, there's actually like three to four.
Yeah.
It's like you can swap out a couple of your evolutionary leaps.
Your Lamholt Pacifist.
Your Lamholt Pacifist is kind of a flex spot. You can bring in Tragic Arrogance instead. But it's really just what do I want to play?
The main deck. Yeah, 60.
The funny thing is the main deck is almost the sideboard.
Yeah.
Because the cards that you do switch out.
Just go straight to your sideboard.
They either go to your sideboard or to your main board. Like, this is the 75.
Okay.
It's just.
How it all comes together.
Yeah, how you decide to run it for.
What are you presenting game one?
Yeah. It's, yeah, exactly. You're like, what meta do you expect? And if you pick it right, then you have the, you know.
You're ready. You're essentially playing game two in game one.
Yeah. Like, on a week where you would expect to see a lot of these human decks, like, I could see, like, a Tragic Arrogance.
Yeah.
Replacing, you know, the Declaration in stone or even. You know, maybe a secure and a deck.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
or maybe over the Stasis Snares to mass creature removal over the one of.
Yeah, kind of one of those things where it's just like, oh, okay. The Stasis Snares, you'll tend to leave those in.
Yeah
that one's because pretty good.
Because
you're out to Westville Abbey.
Yeah.
So you really don't have much of a choice there. You need to leave that in.
I mean, Tragic Arrogance is also kind of an out if they rebuild afterwards.
Well, Clip Wings is as well, which is in the sideboard. But, you know, game one, like, you want a Stasis Snare just in case.
Just in case. Yeah, it's a good safety blanket, you know.
Oh, absolutely. So the Bant Human deck, which one do we want to go over? Takal finished second, but Yuya was on this, and I would rather look at Yuya.
That's sure. It might be the same 75. Who knows?
It probably is. So go ahead, Mike.
Let's see, 4 Thraben Inspectors, 2 Nightaloid Orchid, 3 Duskwatch Recruiter, 4 Lamholt Pacifist, 4 Thalia's Lieutenant, 4 Reflector Mage, and 4 Tyless Trackers round out your creatures.
Wow.
You do see the occasional Eldrazi Displacer in these decks, you know, because you can create the Reflector Mage shenanigans, but yeah, that's pretty much your list.
Not if you're adding green. If you're on just blue-white, I could see the Displacer.
No, I've seen them in the Bant list, yeah.
Oof. You can still company into it.
I mean, you got... it's just the issue with the mana base for blinking. I don't know how that all works out. But we got 10 instants, 4 Dromoka's Command, 2 Ojitai's Command, and 4 Collected Company.
Wowzers.
With 25 lands.
Yeah.
Seems good. Just play the best creatures with the best card advantage.
Because it's a human, and that's one of the best. Play it.
The Eldrazi decks, you don't see with as much Ojitai's Command.
Okay.
Those are the ones that switch. Yeah. That's kind of like your flex spot there.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you have plenty of pain lands.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sideboard, we have a 3rd Nidalee-White Orchid, 3 Negates, 3 Tragic Arrogance, 3 Griff's Boon, 2 Nissa Vastwood Seers, 2 Den Protector, and 1 Sigarda Heron's Grace.
The Griff's Boon is super sweet for the company mirrors. Like, you can just fly over them.
Yeah, with the Den Protectors and the Griff's Boon, they can, you know, put those in, take out their Ojitai's Command and the Reflector Mages. And they can go, like, green-white humans, which is slightly more powerful than regular white humans.
Slightly faster.
It's slightly faster, and they can play on kind of the same field. It's not that it's faster. It's more resilient because of the fact that you have access to Tireless Tracker, so you're digging deeper
into
the cards.
It's cleaner. You're not as worried about hitting a third color.
Yeah, although the enchantment removal becomes a thing. You do need enchantment removal. So, I mean, Dromoka's Command becomes that much more important, I suppose.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, there's Yuya's list. Pretty cool.
It's probably the same 75, I believe.
Takao has, he has Reckless Bushwhacker in here. This is Naya.
No, it's red, just red, white.
It's just red, white. Why are they calling it Bant?
They must have mislabeled.
It's mislabeled.
Yeah.
This is a different deck entirely. It's
I don't even
humans.
See any blue in the sideboard or green.
Is Abbott a human? I bet he is, isn't he?
Abbott?
Yeah, Abbott of Carol Keep?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely is.
Wow. That's
human
good.
Monk.
Yeah.
So this is red-white humans.
Yeah, red-white humans. So I should have not taken their word for that when I was doing the...
Andrew's on Bant humans.
Yeah. Elgin Elbow. See, he has the Displacer.
Yeah, and only
and
one.
One command, okay. So.
Trimmed a little bit on basics, too. Added a one of wastes instead of one planes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Pretty simple there.
And those are 4 decks?
Well, there are 5 because...
Oh, mono-white humans.
Because mono-white humans made it as well. Do we need to talk about that? I don't think so.
No, I know what that deck is.
Yeah, it's
mono white humans. Yeah,
it's white cards, and they're all humans.
Except
and
they all cost 2
except
or less.
For Avacyn, and they play Always Watching, and then they beat your face.
Griff's Boon. They cost 2 or less.
This is how this happens, and you die.
Some have strayed away from Avacyn in the main deck.
Some have.
I believe this one has as well.
Oh, it's just all speed.
Yeah,
only,
it's just
only
they just
speed.
Said, I don't care about the late game at all anymore. We're just...
Yeah, good for them. I think that's what you want to do. Just keep going underneath if you're the
fastest.
Yeah,
you get
deck.
To trim a little bit more lands. Make sure you run more Griff's Boon in the main.
Like,
yeah, you get to do the Coach Todd thing. Just spade, spade, spade. Just spade. We're going to get him.
That's it, man.
Hit him hard. Hit him fast. Hit him spade. Okay, so.
So we had four different human decks and tokens deck?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this.
Two different variations of Bant.
No. We had black-white.
Oh, black-white control,
Black-white control from Owen, which we didn't talk about, but it's, Yep.
So three different human
Owen's
decks.
List. He's been Owen playing list, the black-white control. He's top-aided another Grand Prix with this list, so.
So another GP with no coverage.
A shocker.
Happened in Manchester.
Okay.
Where they are all united.
Okay. Yeah, I get what
Don't give me hell for puns, okay?
Man,
you guys.
Soccer, or football, as it's known throughout the rest of the world.
Anyway. Actually, I saw football the other day. It was like volleyball, but you used your feet. Dude, it was the craziest game. These guys were ninjas. Jumping up in the air, doing like backflips to kick these balls over the net. It was absolutely
absurd. So it's volleyball with your feet?
Yes.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah. Absolutely. It's like soccer, volleyball. I've definitely seen that.
I would watch that for days. I could. Yeah. It's one sport that I'll openly admit right now I could never compete in. Not nearly as flexible, but that was cool.
Yeah. You could stand in the back and kick it.
I would say that is football.
It's funny.
Especially when you watch them block spikes.
Oh, my goodness. I can't even imagine that.
So you're not allowed to use your hands at all?
No. You got to, like, tuck your hands.
Unless you're holding it for the serve.
No.
You can't even hold it for the serve?
You bounce it.
No. Yeah.
You bounce it with your foot. It's not.
Oh, you just bounce it on, roll it onto your foot and bounce it? Oh, jeez.
You bounce it off of the ground with your foot, or you can kick it up in the air with your foot and hit it off of that, but you got to do it inside a certain circle.
Jeez.
And every one of them do, like, these standing kicks. Where their foot is like 3 foot above their head, and wow. It's just like, how the hell you do that? Anyway, back on to actual topic.
See, sometimes not magic.
No coverage there in Manchester. We did have 1,697 players arrive, with 489 of those making day two.
So European GP was bigger.
You always got to feel bad for the two guys, 490 and 491 who finished with 17 points at the end of day one.
Wow. Really? That happens?
Yeah, it did.
Just those two people.
That's what the fuck, man?
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up, but you know, you got a feel for them. We've been in that situation. It happened to us in Providence. Too many draws.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. If we would have played it out, that's how we would have finished if we would have won our last round. So, yep. We did have our archetype breakdown out of the top 100 of day one. Okay. We had 20 green white token
That's
decks.
That's a lot.
We had 18 Naya mid-range decks.
That's a lot.
That wasn't even on the other list.
No.
And we had 11 Bant Company decks, kind of expected.
Yeah, that seems like a regular number I'd expect to see.
Every other deck failed to post 10 copies. So I didn't feel they was worth talking about. We had a top 8 that...
I'm wondering if maybe there would have been more humans if they would have, like... grouped all human decks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
there'd have been 50-some in the last one. Yeah. Ralph Levy.
Hey, he's a name.
Yeah.
The other names haven't been doing so well. What did he do?
He was on green-white tokens.
How'd this name do? The other ones in America didn't do too well.
He was on Bant Company. He lost 2-0, and that was Adam.
He won 2-0.
Levy won 2-0.
Yeah, you said Levy lost 2-0 too.
No, I said this guy lost 2.
Adam.
Jeez.
You said lost 2-0, then the name.
Badgeroics.
Yeah, Badgeroics. Yeah. Yeah, the Badger. The Honey Badger lost 2-0, and Honey Badger was on Bant Company. And Oscar Christensen, he wins 2-0 over Matthew Hunt. Christensen was on Green White Tokens, and Hunt was on Blue Red Ulamog.
Ooh.
Blue Red Ulamog?
Yeah.
What? I've never
that
heard
doesn't
of this.
Ramp.
Yeah. Lowry?
Lowry.
Lowry, Vorella. He was on Bant Rights. He loses to Jonas Freiberg 2-1, and Freiberg was on Grixis Control. Julian Henry, whew, easy last name there. He was on Bant Company. He wins 2-1 over Christopher Larson, who was on Green White Token.
Lots of Green White Tokens.
Yeah, surprised to see Bant Wright's finally making it back in. Seems like the Grixis Control kind of pushed that deck out.
True. Julian Henry 2-1 over Jonas Freiberg. Oscar Christensen goes down to Ralph Levy 2-1.
Hey, a name's winning.
Well, I mean, you give Ralph Levy green-white tokens.
It's true.
Like the established, probably best deck in the format. That's and true. Say, go play this.
I mean...
And you know what? He's going to do well.
I mean, Yuya...
He has liked green decks for a long time.
Yes, he has.
Yuya's been on some variation of humans since before the Pro Tour, so he didn't seem to fare too well, though.
He got top 8.
Well, yeah, but I mean, after the top 8, he didn't get to make it through the top 8.
Yeah. So Ralph Levy wins this. Congratulations to him. This has to be GP win like number 600 for him.
It's actually just six. Okay. But that's still a lot.
It's okay. Top eight, 600?
Probably.
Yeah, probably pretty accurate. Yeah. He is the world's highest planeswalker points or some shit like that.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he, has been in like almost every pro tour.
Yeah.
You know, once he got on the train, he has not fallen off.
No, he got on the train 20 fucking years ago.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's like, oh, that's just pro tour thing? Sweet, I'm on.
Yeah, I mean, like, we was talking earlier about, you know, the flex spots. Like, you can see his flex spots. Like, he has an evolutionary
leap and an extra
board,
stasis snare.
And an extra stasis snare.
With no, declarations.
No secure the waste.
Yeah, that seems like and a no fine way to play.
And no declaration stone.
And strangely, he adds Chandra to this because this is...
Because why not? Chandra's so good.
Because she makes tokens.
Yeah, I mean, I guess technically it's green, white, red, Naya
tokens?
You don't even
Naya tokens, but it's green, white tokens.
Yeah, he has no red mana sources because four Oath of Nyssa.
Yeah.
So...
That's awesome.
It is.
Yeah.
That's actually someone using the Oaths creatively, finally.
They did it at the Pro Tour, but, like, it was a Naya deck that... Oh, no, it was green, white tokens, but, like, they were short on white mana to cast Gideon, so they were having the Oath help out with...
Yeah,
but yeah.
This guy literally cannot cast the card without the enchantment in play.
Correct.
Yes.
That's awesome.
I like it.
That's why he's the man.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, if you don't see an Oath of Nyssa in your game with green, white tokens, well...
You don't gotta worry about Chandra.
No.
Because... You shouldn't have to worry about Chandra.
You shouldn't
anyway
have to worry about Chandra. What the game fuck? One? Oh, he's on green white tokens. Turn six comes up. Chandra.
What?
Oh, did you just get stuck off of Redlands and back off of Oath?
Yeah,
sure.
That must be it.
Yeah, that totally happened.
So, I mean, the Grixis control deck, we've been over it many times. You don't really need to talk about it too much.
Two Dark Petitions. That's, I think, an up. Normally it's like a one of.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
It's usually a sideboard slot more than anything in this deck, so to have a petition package is fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Silumgar mainboard.
Yeah. Two Chandras, one of Nyxilis.
Goblin Dark Dwellers and Kalidus, man.
Yeah, those are...
Those are beasts.
Like, turn four Kalidus and a turn five Dark Dwellers, Kolaghan's Command.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. So what was this Ulamog?
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. We have the Bant Rites deck, well, you know. Which is just...
Oh, there's Reality Smashers.
All of the mana.
Yeah, all of the mana, everyone you could possibly need.
And
it's not four color, at least.
No, there's Reality Smashers, surprisingly. This isn't... Okay, so it's Rites, but not Nantuko Husk Rites.
No.
Okay.
There's no Nantuko Husk going on.
Rites. It's Eldrazi Rites.
Yes. We are powering out Big Eldrazi and then running over all those 1/1 humans that you played on turn one.
Yeah.
it's just kind of going above the fray a little bit, you know, that next step, like, oh, okay, well, if you're playing a bunch of little things, I want to play just behind your speed, but I want to be much bigger.
Yeah.
And then it's
also enough to combat the, tokens deck because, well, I have a Rally Smasher, you have plants.
Yeah, right.
That you haven't put tokens on yet because you don't have time.
Yeah, he's very good against the tokens.
Yeah, even things like Eldrazi Sky Spawner, like that's a good stall tactic against all these little aggro decks.
Gives you blockers and gives you flying.
It's a 2/1 for 3 mana.
And it can threaten the planeswalkers.
I got 2 blockers.
Yeah, it's great at cleaning up planeswalkers. Mike's right. You know, it's a useful card. It's an interesting little synergy. I wouldn't think to build something like
that. Yeah. So that's neat. Now. The deck that
everyone wants to know about.
Don't cares about tokens.
Matthew
anymore.
Hunt's Blue Red Ulamog.
Okay.
So we start with 4 Planeswalkers. We have 2 Jace Unraveler Secrets.
Starts as a Planeswalker.
Yes. Yeah. And we have 2 Chandra Flame Callers.
I believe that's that Jace's first top 8 since he got
no.
printed? No.
No?
No, it's not. There was, what's his name's deck?
In a Grixis control deck,
no,
there was
no,
one.
Was,
and then at the world, at the Pro Tour.
Yeah, Esper.
Was it at the Pro Tour?
Yeah.
Okay.
The guy that answered.
Oh, the Planeswalker version of Esper.
Yeah, what's
control?
His name? That guy. Damn it. He's really good. He's like the best player in the world right now.
Seth Mansfield.
Thank you, Mansfield.
Yeah. Well, we got creatures. What are they?
Oh, man. Well, obviously we have 3 Ulamogs. And then we have 3 Drowner of Hope because he's very
because
close.
It's blue red. We're just going to ramp, right?
He's like Dr. Boom.
Yeah, we're just going to ramp.
But where's the green for ramp?
Mike, spells. Yeah. There's got to be ramp in there.
There's a lot of instants here. There's 19 of them.
Yeah.
We got 4 Spatial Contortions, 1 Epiphany at the
yes,
Drown Yard.
Yes, it made it.
2 Anticipates, 4 Clash of Wills, 4 Void Shatters.
Yeah, dude.
Okay.
Void
Shatters. Still no ramp. Good. A lot of counters.
Dude,
confirm
suspicions. I like this card. I was kind of I'm very happy to see it, actually. I thought it was almost playable.
Two causes extra turns and a brutal expulsion. Where's the ramp, Angelo's?
Dude, I love this deck.
Can you find
this
more ramp?
Awesome.
There's four Hedron Archives.
Found it.
This is old school control.
Yeah.
To a T. Yeah. Minimal creatures, a bunch of counters, a couple spot removal spells, and then, you know, the planeswalkers kind of act as the same thing as your spot removal type spells.
Yeah. Possible spot removal slash card advantage.
Yeah, and it's just like, I'm going to beat you with these huge Ulamogs slash drowners, and you're going to have to deal with that.
And don't worry, I'll get there, because you're not going to be playing. Yeah,
I'm not letting you cast spells.
Eight counter spells in the main deck is a ton.
Yeah.
And having Ulamog.
Nowadays, especially.
Yeah, having Ulamog in the.
Nine counter spells?
Yeah. Nine counter spells.
Oh, yeah, right.
Nine and a half with Brutal Expulsions as well.
Yeah. So, like, the. And then Ulamog is a very good late game plan. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, especially with Drowner, because Drowner into Ulamog is actually very doable.
I mean,
yeah.
you can.
Yeah, I mean, it makes
turn
you
six,
three to.
You could probably turn five Drowner with a Hedron Archive.
Yep.
And then you'll have, what, like eight, seven mana
eight,
from land, eight mana from lands
and
two, yeah, you
Ulamog?
Can do a turn six Ulamog in this deck.
So
that's fast. And that's not even, you could maybe even get there with the Mage Ring Network.
And you might even have a shrine.
Yeah, you got shrine,
so
you have Mage Ring.
There's cool stuff here.
I mean, we do have a Wandering Fumarole because what control deck wouldn't have a man land?
Yeah, I mean, it's a sweet man land. It's actually, you know, really good in a deck that can keep the board empty.
Why What's the sideboard on this thing?
Okay, sideboard. We got another Drowner.
Sweet.
We got two Fiery Impulse.
Probably for humans.
We have a Warping Whale.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
We have two more Codes of Extra Turn.
Aggro.
Humans and Bant to the company decks.
We have a Ruin Processor because sometimes you just need to gain
sometimes
five life.
Sometimes humans is a bit too fast.
Yeah. Three Reality Smashers.
Probably against Green-White Tokens.
We have a Roast.
Yep.
We have Double Negate and two Fevered Visions.
For the Grixis matchup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I mean, you don't play anything for them to kill. They're going to be like, oh, well, this sucks.
Yeah, you have counter spells and they have spot removal. I've played on the counter spell side. It's the way you want to be in that match.
That's where you want to be sitting.
Creatures and removal versus creatures and counter spells.
Yeah. Yeah.
All day.
I'll take out my contortions, all four of them, put in two Fevered Visions and two Negates, and I think I'm good.
I think I'm good.
Yeah.
That's how you win that game, folks.
Maybe add a Warping Whale for their Painful Truce.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, it ramps you.
It does. I mean, truth be told, like, I mean, he doesn't have a spawning bed in there. That's
nuts.
Two spawning beds. Yeah, I mean, he wants to get the 10 mana, and you're not going to do that with lands.
Like, not often.
You just don't, you generally don't have time, and this deck doesn't have infinite time either. It doesn't have infinite card advantage. It's not a Sphinx's Revelation deck. Epiphany of the Drown Yard is only a one of.
I mean, Chandra and Jace do good card advantage.
Yes, they do, but they're not really dependable. If you can get a Jace going and keep him protected, then he's going to be, you know, pretty good. Howling Mind for just you is pretty good. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
I don't know that you want to zero Chandra too much with this deck.
This does remind me, though, of, like, top control decks from 10 years ago. Draw New Diluve, for one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has the same game plan, where it's just, I'm going to stall out until I can play this huge thing that quite literally you cannot deal with. At the time, it was Teferi.
Right.
Because it was like, you can't cast spells on my turn.
Sorry, bro.
And I'm just going to control your
turn. It was a very control-heavy format.
They can only cast things at
sorcery
speed, so they can't even interact in combat.
Yeah. No. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
It. Yeah, it was, I mean, it was definitely a blue format in Time Spiral.
There were
millions of blue decks, and Teferi was the boss. Ulamog is indestructible. I mean,
he's the boss.
He can definitely be exiled via Stasis Snare or some other, you know, shenanigans like that, but like.
It's gotta resolve.
He's going to resolve, and he's going to do terrible things to your opponent's board when he does that.
Yeah. So. You can take the extra turns with a deck like this. You know, two turns is not asking too much out of this deck to make sure you have a negate backup.
Yep.
Like, it's going to do ugly, ugly things to people, and I like this deck.
I think it's awesome.
You know what, Eldrazi, we haven't been seeing in a very long time now?
Kozilek.
Thought Nuts here.
It's because you're not playing him on turn two.
Yeah. We did see him in the Modern last week.
It's true.
Yeah. But I mean, like, even for standard, like, you've seen all these other Eldrazi's and just...
Well, the thing is, like, everyone's curve is, like, one and two. Like, a Thought Not Seer is not good against that curve because, I take your three-bit inspector. Huh.
I mean... I'm talking about, like, even, like, a sideboard option, like, for this deck.
Maybe, yeah, I can see that, but...
I'd rather have the Reality Smashers, like, Thought Not Seer does
very well.
I'm not
saying, like, instead of the Reality Smashers, but, like...
The question is, what matchup do you bring that in?
That's true. I mean, maybe the tokens deck, because, like, you can hit one of their Gideon before they can play it. You can hit their secondary Planeswalker and kill the one on board.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, what are you bringing in against? Like, I mean, do you bring it in against Grixis?
No.
I think you have a better plan against Grixis with the Fever Visions.
You might bring it in against Collected Company decks, but I don't think you want to do that because you're just, like, hoping to hit a company. Exactly. You'd rather just have counter spells.
Yeah, I'd rather just counter the damn company and just say,
I guess he's just not well positioned right now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't think the format is kind to it.
Comes out.
Who knows? I mean, it might all of a sudden become the best card in the format. It's just, so, you know, that's the nice thing with format changes is certain cards drop, and now would be the time to buy them.
Yeah.
Yeah. This deck has, or this format rather, has continued to evolve past the Pro Tour on a week by week basis. Mm-hmm. The standard is never stale. There's a lot of interchangeable pieces that are able to be combined together, which even though we're definitely seeing basically only company decks and non-company decks, but
it's
like,
not stale, but it is beginning to settle.
It is.
I don't know about settle. Like there's different variations of the archetypes on a more rapid basis. It is definitely going to settle for sure. But
yeah, I mean,
I
like we're seeing, like, you know, between the two GPs, we saw 37 green white, and we saw 29 Bant Company in 200 fucking decks.
22.
That's true, but like
11, 7, 18.
18 is Naya mid range.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, 22.
I mean, it's definitely, there are decks that are solidifying themselves and people are getting on there, there are, I like to see the way people are interchanging the parts of the different decks.
Yeah.
To, I mean, similar tactics in there.
Yeah,
but
we're getting into the small tweak range of the format where it's like, I'm just going to change a card or two. Like, Raph Levy is like, I'm just going to bring in two Chandra and just shock the world with them.
I thought this Bant Humans deck was pretty new.
It is kind of new.
It
pops up every here and there.
It's been a few weeks since we've had a GP or an SCG event, but it's an online thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
You know, like, if you play online, you know about the deck, so.
I like that the format is able to have cards be at similar tiers of power and interchangeable.
Yeah, like, now this blue-red Ulamog,
is brand new. Like, we'll see if that trends in any
even though
the
there was 37 green-white tokens decks, the 75s aren't like, here's the 75 cookie cutter, don't change it.
Yeah.
The company deck's the only one that really tends to stay that way with some sideboard slot switching.
The green-white tokens list is pretty hammered out.
Yeah, but like, it changes week to week. There's tweaks.
They're metagame calls.
Yeah.
The deck is 95%. I mean, if you were to look at the deck from card 1 to card 75, it's 95% figured out.
Yeah, like the 75s.
People have like two cards in the sideboard.
72 are standard.
Yeah. But like, then you have the humans decks, which is constantly evolving, whether it's mono white, we had a red white, we had Bant, we have green white, we have blue white.
But they're all attacking basically at the same axis. It's just, like, if you look at the green white and you look at the Bant, realistically you're going, okay, I want to play mono white humans, but do I value collected company over always watching?
Or all your one drops as well.
Well, the Bant companies do not run always watching. So it's like, that realistically is your decision point. Like, which one do I value more? And, you know, I can absolutely understand anybody who makes a state of claim for
either one.
I like Coco better.
Coco.
Yeah. It gives you a longer game plan. And always watching gives you a quicker game plan.
Exactly. And I can absolutely understand why some people say, no, I just like the always watching because I can be standing outside 10 minutes into the round.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, like, I mean, it's like, there's standard is cool right now.
You have your, like,
it is pretty
cool. Have your two decks that are at the top.
Yeah. Clearly.
And then you have humans, which always is battling and always has a chance against those other decks. Like, it's never just clear, can't win. Like, it's worse is like a 60-40. Like, it always has a strong chance. And then you have decks like the Ulamog, Rites is coming back up a little bit.
Like, you have all these decks that come in and out. I felt like Rites has fallen off because I thought a few weeks ago when four color Rites kind of took over the format, I thought it was going to own the format.
And then Grixis Control just stepped up in popularity, and it's like, well, Kalidus Radiant Flames, you can't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, which is kind of weird. Which is partially why I do like the Bant Rites version because, you know, that was an evolution of the fact they're like, you know what, they're going to play Kalidus and fuck my game plan, so I'm going to come up with a whole new game plan. And Kalidus is going to be negligible.
Yeah,
at best.
It turns out that Cryptolith Rites and Collected Company are a very powerful engine of a deck.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't
so
hit Rally Smasher.
What,
don't care.
Which way you piece it together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get my big card at some point. I will be able to play.
Oh no, I can't hit it off a company. Well, here's a 5/5 trample swing.
Yeah, on three. You know, hey.
It's like we're playing Modern or something.
Yeah, it's so fun. Well, it's basically a Springleaf drum.
Yeah.
It's what it is.
It's a really good spring
leaf drum. It's a very good spring leaf.
It turns out when all your creatures are spring leaf drums, that's good.
Yeah.
True. Very true.
It's just two mana, all your creatures are, you know, sitting on top of a spring leaf drum.
Yeah, I mean, but that's also one of the things that makes the interaction with, like, you know, the Sky Spawner so impressive to me is because, like, you get two
crazy
creatures,
mana discount,
which is three mana.
For three mana, which is good. And well, sure, you can sack one of those for
you
a color.
You get three mana out of it because you tap the Sky Spawner and the token for a color and then sack the
And then you can
token.
Sack it for a third. Crazy. One. It's just like,
so
I
it's
can
essentially
loot this.
Free.
Yeah, you can play the one into the other, into the other. It's that easy. Like, empty your hand, like, oh my god, that's almost like fucking back in the day
pretty,
shit.
Pretty good.
It's almost like old school. So
it's almost like
the only issue is they
just
don't have
frog mites just everywhere.
It's just they don't have,
exactly.
They get the ability to tap, so they're essentially birds of paradise though.
Yeah.
So they can't do it the turn they're put down, but.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't sure of that.
Yeah.
I don't
creatures
play
you
right,
control so. Have tap at any color okay. mana to mana pool.
Got it. So it's not quite like a spring leaf drum.
It's more like a bird's, but.
Okay. But it's a really good spring leaf bird.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
They get a flying drum when the creature enters.
The question here is, will we continue to see this format evolve?
I'm hoping so. Like, we're getting
closer. We're getting close.
I think that...
We only got a month left.
I mean, I think that we're going to see changes and jockeying throughout the next month as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be at all surprised to see one of the decks from early in the format come back.
Like the Thing in the Ice deck?
Yeah, maybe that, or maybe one of the ramp decks from the Pro Tour come back, something like that. But if you can beat Green White Tokens, you're in a really good spot right now.
Yeah.
Or even an uptick in that Eldrazi, the red-blue Ulamog deck, if that
becomes
more popular.
We'll see
popular.
If there's any kind of ripples from that.
Yeah.
I think there will be. I think we'll see a little bit because it's not...
It looks good.
It's not an expensive deck to put together.
No, and it...
Like Ulamog and Chandra, I think, are your big points.
It looks good. People like to counter spells.
Yeah.
You know, so...
They like to cast Eldrazi and Planeswalkers.
It's true. You know, I think that there's a good chance that... People will play it. We'll see how they do.
Yeah, fair enough. We're going to take a real quick break, and we will go ahead and return in a moment. Dun, dun, dun. Titan Game Shop. You need products? We got products. We got your sleeves. We got your cards. We got your singles. We got everything you could possibly need. You want tournaments? Oh, there's tournaments. There's plenty of tournaments. We got FNMs. We got GPTs. We have every single tournament you can think of. Limited, standard, modern, legacy, vintage masters, all of them. And while you're there, you need something to eat. Oh, yeah, we got that, too. We got Snickers. Heck, your kids are going to love their nuts. We have everything you could possibly want at Titan Game Shop. And remember, if you go there, let them know that the Pit-Im sent you. That's TitanGameShop.com, T-A-I-T-A-N, GameShop.com. Okay, we are back. We got a few quick news things to go over real quick.
Musicals.
And then we will talk about the Eternal Master stuff.
Awesome.
I like this ruling.
Here. Okay, four... Pro REL booster drafts. We're talking about day two top eights of a GP. We're talking about pro tours, and we're talking about the world championships. Mm-hmm. Those poor judges are going to have to sleeve all those cards because that is now the rule with double face cards.
Well, you know what? They're already putting them in to, you know, pre-opening all of the deals and delivering them
anyway.
And registering them and all that stuff. So to put them in a sleeve is only one more step in a long process already.
Yeah, it's already a long process. It becomes a more long process. Yes,
it only takes a couple, like 2-3 seconds to put
two,
a card
3 seconds
sleeve.
Per card.
That's true.
Do you know how many cards they're going to open?
Thousands.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, I mean, it's 2-3 seconds per card.
Yeah, it's like an additional 20
now,
minutes.
Now, do that over X amount of
20 minutes
players,
to a half
you
hour.
Know. I mean, poor guys. They have...
Per draft table. I mean, I don't know, dude. You're talking about a long,
that's a process.
Period.
Yeah.
If you're not in one of these events, it will be the same as before. Yeah. You open your cards, you show everybody. This is my double face card.
This
and
is what I opened.
Pick your card. And then you'll pass to the left.
And if you take
right,
your double face card,
left.
It must remain on top of your draft pile for that pack until the end of that pack. Yes.
No.
No.
On yes. top of your draft.
So I was told.
No,
it's
you are
for
not
that
allowed to manipulate the order of your picks while at the
That's
table.
That's correct.
I was forced to do that at Titan when I did a draft. You had to leave your
okay.
double face on top of that card pack.
You need to talk to a higher ruling and have them talk to them, because you're not allowed to manipulate the order of your picks at the table. Once you've started your competitive pile,
and everything. Yeah, at REL.
Once you've started your pile, you're not allowed to pick that pile up until the time where it says, okay, now you may review.
Yeah, that never happens at F&M drafts ever.
Yeah.
I have not witnessed people doing that.
Yeah, I know that that's...
I see people looking at their pack, all the time.
Until your next pack. This, we say in our chat, it says it also. Until your next pick.
Until your next pick.
I'll say pick.
No, that's incorrect.
So you take your pick, you put it down on the table, that's fine. Once you have your next pick, you have to put that on top of that pile.
That's
You're not allowed to pick that pile up and put that underneath it, because that is a manipulation of your pile, which you cannot do during the draft.
Even though that happens all the time at drafts.
It shouldn't, but a lot of LGS let it happen,
especially early in a set's life, which I kind of understand because people don't quite know the cards yet, but I think by this point, in the set, you should know them. Just
slippery slope.
You don't get to pick them up until review time. That's why they give it to you. That's the way it should be done.
That's what I was confused on. It's like, why do I have to leave it up? I don't even care enough. Like, it was an F&M draft. I didn't care enough.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'll probably say something about it if that ever happens to me. I'm like, no. Let me explain rules to you now. So, yeah, there's that. Okay. Now, we have F&M promos to announce.
Hooray.
Hooray. I mean, we know about the Sylvan Scrying for June, which is still like the best art for Sylvan Scrying.
Pretty good.
We know about Spatial Contortion for July.
Yeah, but again, another great
art. Also really good art.
Guys, just getting his neck break.
Dude, his legs are 20 feet away from his body.
I love that below the card they give us the actual picture for the artwork.
Yeah. It does get kind of, you'll be able to see it in the card, you know, in the card image itself, but the picture of the card doesn't show the background through the border as well.
Yeah, and for August, you know, hot news here, we get Crumbling Visage.
Dude, that card's sweet.
It's been standard playable.
It has.
Especially when you're already playing Eldrazi's in your deck.
I do like the art. It's like this little oasis in the middle of this wasteland where it's just like
tiny little spire. Yeah.
You had the chance there and you missed it. It's just a tiny little tree. It's a happy little tree on top of that tiny little mountain.
Yeah.
you had your Bob Ross moment.
My little squirrel would love to be up in that tree.
Yeah.
Little squirrel happy.
We do not have any, birds.
Nope.
That's cause it's about to
go away. They might be in the tree hiding.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I like scale birds. I like scale birds for any art.
They should have given us some
Eldrazi.
Should have given us like some spawn around the base of that.
I think it's beautiful.
It's a gorgeous picture.
Yeah.
I think it's isolated. It's solitary. You know that.
It's cool.
I don't like how nothing's really crumbling off.
All
of
the summer art
though.
Looks incredible.
There's not much crumbling about that tower though.
Imagine what it looked like before it crumbled.
That's true.
Yeah,
why is it floating? This is Zendikar. It should be floating.
This is post-crumble crumbling.
There's oceans.
They float too.
Some of them.
I mean, that's Zendikar.
You're not wrong. I don't know that you're 100% right, but you're not wrong. I'll give you that.
As long as I'm not wrong, that's fine.
Okay, so we have the full spoiler. They gave us a week of, hey, here's neat things.
This is great online. This has so many popper staples.
Yeah, you got a new popper card in this set too.
I know. There's Nimble Mongoose. I talked about it last week.
Yeah. There are, you know, I'm a little disappointed with some of the common and uncommon choices that they made. Like War Priest of Thune. I'm like, eh.
That guy's sweet.
I mean, there's
he's good. He does what he does, but there are.
He's definitely not an Eternal Masters card.
No, but there's an Enchantress-based archetype. They want to have.
I would not have put any cards in this set that had the modern card frame, unless you choose to put in like Tarmogoyf like that. Like I would be only Invasion Block and older, or like Odyssey Block and older.
Or I would allow something if it's banned in like every format, but like Jace.
Sure.
Like Stoneforge Mystic, which
that's
didn't
fine.
Make
that's
it like,
fine.
Okay,
yeah, those are good
only
ones.
Played in those four, in that format, so yeah, fine. But you know, speaking of, I noticed as these were coming out that we have Squadron Hot, we have Counter Spells, we have Jace.
You don't have equipment, though.
I don't have equipment, but I think in a limited game, I can make that work.
Yeah.
If you ever open Jace, yeah.
Yeah, just take Squad Hawks. Just take them all.
The one thing I was disappointed of when I was going through this, like, there's a lot of cards that were in Vintage Masters.
But that's fine. Vintage Masters was an online only.
It was, but it feels like they just took, it's like, okay, these were in Vintage Masters, we'll throw these commons and uncommons in because they drafted well together before.
Not the early Vintage Masters, maybe, or the, there have been several releases, Masters releases.
No, the ones on Moto.
Oh, the
Moto.
Vintage Masters.
Yeah. Actual Vintage Masters. Masters. Yeah. Like, for the people online, they're going to be like, didn't I just draft this? It's just different rares.
I would
rares.
Be very happy to have all these commons in my online collection. There's a lot of stuff.
I will say one huge disappointment is Mog Fanatics in the set, and Mog Fanatic is not nearly as good as it used to be. Once they change the rules, true.
It can kill Kurdate before the forest comes down.
Yeah, but once they changed the rules.
And damage no longer stacked. Yeah.
And damage no longer stacked. He lost a lot of playability.
Yeah, he did. He used to be a two mana.
When you used to go block, damage on the stack, sack away, two damage, you know. He was a two
for one.
He was a man. He was a two for one machine.
He was just a, you know.
What,
I trade
you have a bird of paradise?
No,
you don't.
Yeah. I trade up always. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, when I was scrolling through the red, I was hoping it's like,
really good
I saw like Siege Gang Commander and like all of a sudden I'm like, oh, are we going to get like Goblin Lackey and all the Goblin Matron? It's like, no, you just get Siege Gang Commander.
Yeah, I mean, Siege Gang is pretty nice.
Like, you could have given.
I like the art.
The Pyroblast is new.
Like, they're trying to
dig. And Hydroblast.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
It's like essentially the same picture, just replace fire with water.
That's how it worked in the original.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of the originals. I mean, there you go, Will.
Oh, it's awesome.
Just waves.
So good.
With Inkwell Leviathan right next to it on the charts too, and it almost looks like the exact same card.
Beautiful.
Yeah, there's a person. Is that a person in the water?
The set does look a lot like a cube. And
it would be great
to have a complete version of this, to have the full cube of this would be.
Yeah. Okay. They gave Tim new art.
He looks sweet.
I know. I like the art. I think the art's really nice, but I have a picture of Tim in my head.
Dude with the crazy hat and the stupid goatee. And you're like, what the fuck is this guy doing? He doesn't look magical in any way whatsoever.
Yeah,
he
but
has a
that's
staff
Tim.
That has like 10
I know
rolls.
It is. This guy's cool. This guy pings the shit out of Tim.
And Tim will ping him back. I mean, that's what they do. And then they can win damage. Never mind.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's some really cool cards. I was a little disappointed to see that there wasn't a great, target for Reanimator.
Inkwell Leviathan.
There's good ones. There's not great ones. Like, I was hoping like
Phyrexian, no Iona, no Gristlebrand.
No, I wanted Phyrexian Dreadnought.
Yeah.
That would be sweet, or like,
I mean,
one of the two indestructible golems would
yeah,
be nice.
I mean, you're looking at like black red reanimator, and I want a blue black reanimator.
I don't know. I
you
mean,
get a chance of blue black.
Well, because I have no problem bringing back like a Rorix or, you know, a World Gorger Dragon. Like, those are fine.
Any creature of any color can go in the reanimator deck. It's all good. You know, you don't.
That is
true. You can play blue black reanimator with red, green, and white creatures in it if you have the Entomb and the reanimates, you know, it's all good.
That is true. So overall, what do you guys think of the set now that it's been out for a few days and we've had a chance to see everything?
I'd reanimate the shit out of Sylvos, bro.
That's true.
I aired a little bit of my discrepancies. Like, they gave us all this stuff for elves. Like, they didn't give us the
Goblin
Nettle Sentinel, but like
that card
is
so sweet.
You got a lot of the other
Sphinx
stuff.
Of the Steel Wind.
That's
you could reanimate him.
Like, you got a whole bunch of other good stuff for like the Elves archetype, even in
the actual
Legacy deck.
So sweet.
But for Goblins, they gave you one card.
Yeah.
Like, if you're gonna do an Elves archetype and a Goblins archetype, give us a Lackey, a Matron, maybe.
Lackey would have been really, really
like
clutch.
Matron Ringleader, Lackey,
something,
and Siege Man Commander. That's it. You don't have to have Gem Palm Incinerator.
Give me a Goblin King. I'd have been happy with that. You know what? For you people who are drafting this, do not sleep on Call the Skybreaker. It's not going to be the best rare you can open, but when you draft it, you're going to be very happy
if you're
to draft it.
It's going to win
red,
games
blue,
if you
like,
get there. Red or blue.
I don't know how to feel about Soul Fusion rare.
Card's awesome.
It was before.
Be rare.
It was, but there's a lot of cards that did change rarity.
Yeah, but I mean,
well,
this is a 4-1 Trample Haste with Shroud.
There's no way this is mythic. It's definitely rare.
No, I was not talking about
it. It's not an uncommon.
There's no fucking way that's an uncommon, Mike.
An uncommon. That's my draft strategy.
Yeah, no doubt. Giant Solifuge all day.
I'm just going to draft everyone
that
I see.
That was really good when it was in Standard.
It was good when it was in Standard the first time.
The
second
time
it was ho-hum, but it was great in draft.
Oh, did it get time shifted?
Yeah. Yeah. It was great in draft, so, like, I don't
know. So it was part of the mono green haystack with the fucking, the Wispmares or Wispmares.
Timbermares.
Timbermares.
And yeah.
Groundbreaker.
Ashnod's Altar.
I mean, yeah, we have the Altar. I mean, we all know about the Mox.
Yeah. Duplicant.
Duplicants.
I like that amazing. Artwork.
I like the Tomes artwork. Yeah. Just, you know, sometimes simplicity is gorgeous. And it's just a book. But it's well done.
Yeah, well done. The Scepter.
Yeah, we all want to open a Mana Crypt. That's nice.
There's a Juggernaut.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen that art before. I wish they kind
of... Yeah, that was at the last core set.
Yeah, I mean...
Or out of Origins, actually.
The Milliken is a little different. I mean, Milliken,
no, it's the same art. It's the old art.
It looks zoomed in.
It looks...
It's, I promise you,
it's is the old it? Art. Okay.
Because it was, like, way cool art for the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Disc looks really good.
Yeah, that's the cube version of it.
Yeah.
Did you see the original? Like,
yeah,
concept art that it did, where it was sucking in the card frame?
Yeah, the original concept art was, they had it where it was like a black hole almost.
And it was sucking in the card frame.
And the card corners were actually being sucked
in.
That's
so cool.
It would have been great, but it'd been so impossible to read, there's no way they could have okayed it.
Yeah. On an unset, that would have been perfect.
Right?
But, cause you know, that's what they expect.
So, I mean, I don't know. You got Tinker. Those are Ticking Gnomes. Even better. Those aren't Tinkering.
It's Ticking.
Winter Orb. I still like that card.
Winter Orb's really good.
The land cycle is what threw me
drafting
off.
A Winter Orb aggro deck is going to win you a draft. People are going to go big and dumb and stupid and get distracted by cool things, and then you're going to be like, sweet, your shit never untaps.
Like, the Khan's tap lands threw me for a loop when I saw those.
And everybody should take a second and thank Wizards for not printing Icy Manipulator with Winter Orb.
Thank
because
you.
I get a turn and you
but
don't.
It, hey, but that's in cube.
It is, but I mean, that's, and you know, it's kind of sad. Like, you still want to open the rare lands. That's what you want to crack.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's where your money is. You got Wasteland. You got Caracas. It's just, I want
Maze of Ith.
I want the rare lands.
Mana sources of all varieties. If you get a Moxen or if you get the Mana Crypt, you'll be very happy.
I feel like they could have done something maybe by putting the artifact lands in here.
No.
Well, I'm not talking.
I just don't want to see them again.
Okay. Like, they're played
in. Yeah, it's a waste of slots.
It is.
I mean, I'd rather see those over Khan's tap lands.
The Khan's tap lands are sweet.
They are, dude, but this is
like for the it's a common.
Like, I know, but
they're
like,
they're the highest power common tap land. Out
it's
there.
Just it feels weird to me seeing that in a set that's based around this.
Thornwheeled
Archer is not
first pick every time.
2/1 reach death touch. It was the original fucking.
What was the spider with the death touch? The
it was
two.
The exact same card, basically.
Deadly Recluse?
Deadly Recluse.
Fucking, but also
Deadly
known Recluse as Doomblade.
Deadly Green
Recluse
Doomblade.
Was a 1/2.
Yeah.
So this guy's better.
Yeah. No. It was known as Doomblade.
A 1/2 is better than a 2/1. Also.
Not if you're an elf deck that's attacking.
Well, yeah, but you're a reach death toucher.
And
one's all you need.
Yeah, but that's an elf archer.
I mean, it's going to be blocking a 2-power flyer either way. It's going to die.
I mean, spirit tokens.
Yeah, you use your Sentinel Spider to block those air things.
Roar of
Chrome blocks at Mythic. I think that's right.
Yes, you do have Roar of the Worm and Quiet Speculation. So if you do, that is just awesome.
Yeah, when I saw Quiet Speculation, I went through trying to find like all the flashback cards. There didn't seem to be a lot.
There's some reasonable ones that I've seen already just
in
green.
There are, but they're like spaced out over different colors. Like
it's okay. I mean, two or three color. Flashback is not a
I mean, you got like one in blue, one in red, one in green.
You have to go L's into Invigorate.
We got Invigorate,
that's fair.
We didn't get Berserk.
Good.
I would have preferred Berserk over Invigorate.
I would not. Well, I know Will would because Invigorate's banned in Pauper.
It's not banned. It is banned?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that sucks.
They did that during the Infect.
Oh, yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I mean, the Infect era was pretty real.
It's just, I feel like Berserk.
Oh, wow, you even get Wonder 2 for your Quiet Speculation deck? This is going to be a fun set.
I think so.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I think it's going to be fun. It's just like, I feel like they fell short on a couple of the archetypes they tried to push.
Got to make sure I do one of these drafts.
Like, they tried to set up a goblin theme.
I don't think they bonked out. I think they pushed the power level as far as they wanted to.
Yes.
I don't think they wanted it to be played the way Modern Masters 1 was, where it was just like, draft these colors, put this deck together. Everything will be fine.
This is more open.
That's essentially what Eternal Masters was, though, too.
Yeah.
Online.
And this
or Vintage Masters.
Vintage. And this isn't that. I think that this actually takes a little bit of subtlety to put together a good deck. And I like it.
Yep, I do.
Reckless Charge. Go fuck yourself.
Dude, I feel like I played that a little bit more on some areas.
Fucking double Reckless Charge my Jackal Pup into a Verdant Force. That was pretty awkward.
Pyrokinesis. I'm happy to see that in the set. Good removal.
Yep.
You gave me Force. You gave me Pyro. I'm happy.
I'm in. Pyrokinesis is really good.
All right. I'll get rid of this.
Price of Progress, new art.
Yeah, new art on Price. I think it's a cool set. I hope everyone.
Shrines, one in each color.
Yeah, I truly hope, Crater Hellion, I truly hope that everybody gets a chance to draft this at least once.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that, you know, people have a good time with it. I think they will. It is hit and miss with your packs, though. Either you're going to open the $100 rare, or you're going to open the nothing.
I don't know. I think there's quite a few $30 cards in here. Like,
Yeah, but there's a lot of nothings.
A lot.
Plain and simple.
Yeah.
But all of the nothings, though, give you a really good chance. Like, most of the nothings, anyway, give you a really good chance to win your draft. Like, I think the cards are all very good. Super valuable, but, like, I don't think there's anything that's a buck at rare.
No.
I don't know. Like, I mean,
everything looks like it's at least a $3 card.
I don't know about Pyrokinesis.
Somebody went through, and I want to say it was Brad. He went through and he actually posted every card that you can open and actually make slight profit, where the card is worth more than the pack cost. One card. Like, there's like 23.
Yeah.
How many rares are there?
Like,
and does that
include? It includes mythics. Like, it's.
Yeah. It's, I mean, you know, there are some cards in here that you're going to open, like Call the Skybreaker and go wah wah, but you're going to win that draft.
Yeah, probably. Right, exactly. How much was Sinkhole before it was announced for this?
I bought mine, my lightly played ones were 40 and my, heavily played one was 35.
How much do you think these settling down to? 15?
No way, dude.
No, this isn't gonna be like a real set.
But the reason why sinkholes were so expensive was because they were alpha beta.
So,
no, unlimited.
Unlimited too?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
So, the thing about these supplemental releases is that, they don't put out nearly as many cards to devalue the market. So there's going to be the initial market scare and people selling off and the price dropping.
Yeah.
But then 2 years down the road, it's going to go right back up to where it was.
Sometimes it doesn't even take 2 years. Hence Tarmogoyf.
It took two months.
Right.
It took
immediately.
2 months. 2 months after it was announced for being in Modern Masters 2 or 1.
Yeah. Yeah, which was like release date.
Yeah.
It went up.
It dropped by like $10 for 2 months.
Yeah.
And then went right back to where it was.
It went up. It didn't go back to where it was. It went higher. It was ridiculous. So, I mean, these things don't do enough. They don't put enough copies out onto the market to change prices at all. So don't panic and sell your cards.
Yeah, all there is the market reaction of what the hive mind is doing.
Yeah.
Which I'd hope by now people would have figured that out. Like, there's just not enough copies that's out there.
People don't figure things out as a group.
And it's the same as, you know, these people who are buying boxes of this stuff for $400. Like,
no.
Did you not see with Modern Masters 2, you can go buy them right now for under MSRP?
Yeah, but Modern Masters 2 wasn't as good.
Wasn't as good as Modern Masters 1, but it still speaks to the same, you know, kind of effect. Like, they're going to go down, at least, you know, during its lifespan. There are going to be stores who just want to get these things off of their shelves. You're going to be able to pick these up for reasonable. You ain't got to go $400. Now, you know, if somebody says...
$350.
Yeah, 300. I can see 300. Like, okay. You know, MSRP is what, 240?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's $9.99 and there's 24 packs because there's no prize packs in it, only enough for your draft.
Yeah, so there's 240.
And then plus tax, so you're getting close to 260 after tax.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's, okay. Yeah. So I can see 300 to 3.25, you know, if you say that it's good. Okay. No problem there. I mean, what the fuck? So, yeah, there's that. As far as these supplemental sets go, I mean, we know, we just talked financially that they do nothing, but are they good?
They do print money.
They do.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
But they don't drastically affect the whole scheme.
Are these things good to you? Are they bad to you? Do you have any outlying opinions aside from that? You know?
They have their ups and downs. Like, it's great that they're reprinting these cards, but it all depends on which cards they reprint, what rarity they put that card at, and how much they release into the public for sale. Like, what their limits are.
I don't see a lot of downside with these. In my experiences, I have had tremendous fun playing the format.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's... I'm talking about, like, the price about the cards. Like, it doesn't really...
Yeah, financially...
Yeah.
Financially, as far as what I have seen, is all it does is introduce more, you know, slightly more copies of a card so that people can chase after them. They don't feel defeated, but it doesn't hurt the market in any way. All it does is print money.
You know why I don't, you know why I think it doesn't hurt the market at all? Is because all of these sets seem to do, and this is a good thing to me, is introduce players
to older sets?
Yeah, who have never played with these cards, to all of a sudden hold them in their hands and then start thinking about getting into these other formats.
Oh, hey, I have a Tarmogoyf. Now I can build
the
a
financial
deck.
That's why the prices kind of rise on the really good cards, right? Because these people were like, because I expect Force of Will to go up.
It creates demand.
Yes.
You create supply, but the demand is exponential in comparison to the supply.
There's going to be more demand created than there will be actual cards printed. And like, I expect cards like Force of Will.
Yes.
And Wasteland to go Caracas back to where they used to go up.
Cause they dropped exponentially.
Yeah, because a lot of people weren't running them.
Like Force of Will dropped to like 50.
And Wasteland had actually lost favor in Legacy for a lot of decks.
Yeah.
So like that one actually makes sense why it's gone down, but like, I actually expect these cards to go up.
Yeah, because I think Wasteland dropped to like 40.
Yeah, the original Wasteland up at $40, and I was like, okay.
You could probably get these starting out at like 35, 40, and then probably they'll encroach back up to 60.
I could see them $50, $60 pretty easy. It's kind of funny.
I mean, I feel like that's the right spot for a Wasteland is 50 like $50, $60.
Yeah, for that uncommon.
I mean, it's a rare
really
now,
good one.
It was a really good uncommon.
Total mistake.
They didn't really. We messed up on how good LD is.
Yeah.
Which is why we don't get Stone Rain anymore.
Well, there were not
like very, actual Stone Rain.
There were not very many decks that ran a lot of non-basic lands at that point in time in Magic.
Yeah.
Like,
nope. There weren't that many.
What the difference is that there are just non-basic lands are pivotal to Magic and they're absolutely important. So.
People were playing it on a different axis where if before, I mean, yeah, you might have a Dwarven Mine, you might have a Storage land.
Yeah, right. You might have a Pain land or something like that.
Who cares?
It, you know, people played with a lot more basic
about
lands.
15, 20 basics in decks, you know. Yeah. 20 of my 23 lands are basics.
Yeah. If you was bold enough to run 23 lands at a time, because a lot of times it was 20, 20, 20.
Oh, I know, right?
20 creatures, 20 spells, 20 lands. Let's play Magic.
So, but yeah, I mean, like with these, you know, with the master sets that I've played them online. I've played them in reality. I've always had fun playing them. I have always, you know, I have been playing Magic for a long time and I have seen all of these cards for a very long time. So it's just that walk down memory lane for me.
Yeah, you know? I've never been outright disappointed by these sets because they all play well.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like,
and in the end, that's really what should matter. It shouldn't be what cards are in the set. It's how should the set play.
Right.
And if it plays well, fuck it. Who cares? That's all I'm concerned
with. I'm never disappointed with the playability of these sets. It's just with every set.
I know, Goblin
set, like,
Guide wasn't in this.
Well,
it's a terrible set,
I'm not
right?
saying Goblin Guide specifically, but like, everyone says, oh, I wish this card had gotten reprinted. Like,
I don't say that.
I'm
glad that did.
You're right. I see it that way.
Yeah,
but
someone glad didn't get reprinted.
Everybody can come up with one card that they would have liked to see in the set. Like, I would have liked to see Dreadnought in the set. Okay, but it's not in there. It's probably a good thing that it's not in
there. I mean,
there's
some cards I would have liked to have seen for price reasons.
Yeah, see, but that's just it. Yeah. You say for price reasons, but we just had this huge talk about how it does nothing to the prices.
Like, initially it does drop them, though.
Very little.
Maybe Imperial Recruiter.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been terrible to get a couple more copies of that on the market. I mean, but
that could have easily been a rare mythic. Probably rare.
You couldn't print it at rare, though. It would cripple the market. That in that case, so it would have to be a mythic, and you can't waste a mythic slot on Imperial Recruiter. So I understand why.
He'd be really good in a draft, though, with horsemanship.
He doesn't have horsemanship.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking of the other card.
Yeah, there are definitely horsemanship cards which are insane. Goodness gracious.
Like
the blue-black horsemanship deck from the original Masters, or from whatever it was,
Portal?
I forget what the name of the Masters was
okay.
when they first started making them. Was it Eternal Masters?
Oh, you
EM1?
You mean the...
Online.
Oh, those are just the Master sets.
Yeah, exactly.
Masters 1.
Yeah, Masters 1. That blue-black horsemanship deck was insane.
Good, yeah.
I can see Imperial Recruiter would have fit in even at Mythic because you have the Empiric Tutor, Idyllic Tutor. And,
yeah, I mean, you got things.
Not the same cycle, though.
No, but it's a red tutor.
Yeah.
Like, it fits
so
into
Gamble.
The theme.
So is Gamble.
Gamble is
the red tutor.
It is.
Yeah. Red got its tutor.
Yeah, because
that's true.
Red didn't actually have a tutor in I believe those were from.
I don't think Green got one, did it?
Mirage. Yeah, it did. It was Worldly Tutor.
Did they, I meant in.
I don't
Green
think
Sun so. Zenith.
Yeah, Green Sun Zenith. There you go. That's way better than World Between.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, that's in the set.
Okay.
So, yeah, they got their tutor. Like, everyone has their tutor.
I think it's a phenomenal success. Whoever came up with this idea deserves a giant fucking bonus because it's awesome.
And
I'm glad.
From the old school players, like me and Will, it's a huge high five because I get to pick up these horrible cards that I haven't picked up in years, which is part of the reason why I was a little disappointed with the commons and uncommons, because I wanted to pick up those horrible creatures.
Some bad, bad cards.
Yeah, yeah, like, I wanted to, like, you know, win a game with a Breeding Pit.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean?
I don't know that I'd want to go that far. I have, yeah, I have
just
dropped.
Just create zero ones all day long.
Well, hey, you have Nyssa to do that now.
Yeah, I do.
And she makes them bigger.
Yeah, like, I wanted to play with those bad cards that I used to play with, you know. I wanted my blue to be Homerids. But, you know, I wanted to wreck somebody with a Mersane. I know I'm naming a lot of Fallen Empires cards, but I have a, I love that set. but yeah, I mean, I think all in all, these are great. So what do you guys think the next one they're gonna do is?
I mean, obviously, I'm pretty sure it's gonna be Modern Masters
probably
3.
Probably Modern Masters 3.
Yeah, that's probably what it's gonna be.
Yeah, I'll say Modern Masters 3, and then I'll speculate that it'll be Vintage Masters 2 after
probably.
That. Online only, yeah.
Okay,
no,
so...
No, make a Vintage Masters 2.
They can't do it in paper, though.
Why?
Restricted list.
What's this one called?
Eternal Masters.
Well, then they do Eternal Masters.
I was going to say,
dude,
Vintage Masters had power and dual lands.
Who the fuck cares? Eternal Masters 2.
Yeah, Eternal Masters 2, yeah.
Would you like to see, to supplemental sets, would you like to see supplemental sets that introduce... Like, new cards like that become legal in Legacy and Vintage, but allow them to be legal in Modern.
No.
Okay.
No. I actually, and it sounds strange, but, like, we have this conspiracy coming out.
Because this is, like, a 50-50 thing for a lot of people, actually.
I wasn't really a big fan on the original conspiracy because those cards were only going to be legal in those sets that, you know, you walk into a store and you sit down and you draft this set with eight people, okay?
A
and
lot
it's
of
a conspiracy. You know, you're drafting this conspiracy, and the thing is, maybe only one of those players actually plays Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
So for a lot of these people, they're cracking cards that they're quite often never going to use.
Aside from Commander.
EDH maybe.
Yeah.
So, like, I kinda...
Cause I know a lot of Modern players say they would like to see that, to where supplemental sets are now legal in Modern as well.
No.
And these are for the people who have been saying, like, this is actually like
these are people who should be playing Legacy.
No,
but
these
don't
are,
have the cards.
These are people who play both Legacy and Modern and have been playing Modern since its birth.
Yeah, see, I would think that these are people.
Like, the hardcore Modern grinders are the ones who are in favor of that, and the ones who aren't in favor
of
people
the
who are trying to get
grinders.
Into Modern.
A lot of the hardcore Modern grinders don't play Legacy. That's just a fact.
I don't understand why you would ever put any of the cards. Well, you're talking like the
like
cards.
Like Fading.
Yeah,
like
the cards
when Baleful
released,
Strix came
yeah,
out.
No,
it would have been legal in Modern.
Absolutely not. They're not Modern legal. They're not on the same power level. They do things that Modern Magic isn't supposed to. Like card advantage at a much higher rate, mass removal at steeply discounted prices, effects that you just really shouldn't have in Magic, you know?
Yeah.
Like the will of the council thing.
Here's a thought. Put True Name Nemesis in Modern right now.
GG. That's the best.
I'm not talking
ever.
About those older sets. I'm talking about upcoming
but,
sets.
But what I'm saying is these are the type of cards we're talking
yes,
about.
Yes, but they could print those because they were only going to be legal for Vintage and Legacy.
Yeah, so let
okay,
them continue
so what
to
you're
that.
Saying is you want them to dumb the cards down, not give us those powerful cards for
you
Legacy, because the thing is if you make them Modern powerful, the Legacy cards are
yeah.
done.
It's a fact.
Yeah, but
you're
Legacy as a format is almost
Legacy.
Dead anyway.
I don't think it is. I am, dude, this set right here is proof that they're not trying to let it die.
They're
the
not trying
play
to,
Modern,
but they're not supporting with tournaments.
The people who play, they're not supporting Modern with tournaments.
Which I feel like is an issue, but that's,
I mean,
that's
they still have Legacy and Modern Grand Prix.
They do.
Just don't have them at the Pro Tour level.
The people who propagate this idea that Legacy is dying are Modern players who for some reason just don't like Legacy.
Or
no, I love Legacy. I can't
or
buy
it's
into
people
Legacy.
That just want to buy Legacy cards cheaply. If you can scare the market into saying that Legacy is dead, you're going to put a dent. Like I know of a player who I used to play with who sold all of his duels for $10 a piece. Like that was when the extended format no longer had duels, and it was, well, 1.X is dead, so we're gonna sell, and there have been other times when Legacy was dead, the cards spiked back, they receded in price, and then all of a sudden, the shops had enough of them that they would start having legacy tournaments. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, that's a great way to sell off all this back stock and all of a sudden generate market. I would not be
surprised.
And when I
say quote unquote dead, I mean not supported.
Yeah, I mean, but that's just,
I don't mean as like lost interest completely. I'm talking about
legacy has always been a format where the support comes not from Wizards, but from the shops
community.
And from
the community.
Cash prize yeah. tournaments and like a lot of legacy, especially in the Bluebell area. It's all about, mm-hmm. You play for, or you play Vintage or Legacy for power. You know, you have power tournaments. Like it's definitely what's driven the scene for a long time. It's always been a mm-hmm. secondary scene.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, look, yeah, SCG aren't doing Legacy opens anymore, right?
Not like, not opens, but they still have
but
the
But they still have
classics,
the side events.
Yeah.
And the classics still do well.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I mean,
they still have 60 or 70 people playing Legacy every
Eternal
weekend.
Eternal Weekend wouldn't be a thing if
yeah,
Legacy was dead. But and you look at the Eternal Weekend, every year it grows.
But isn't that based from the community who, community is what put that together, not Wizards?
Exactly. So,
exactly.
That's what I meant.
Yeah,
like,
it's never
that,
done
is,
that.
But the thing is, like, to say that a format is dying,
I know it's not dying in terms of the community.
Yeah, well, they're putting out a product right now that says, you know what? We recognize that the community wants this.
I feel like it was
so
more
going to give them it.
Of because people wanted Vintage, like how they did Vintage Masters online only. People would have loved to have seen something in paper, but you obviously couldn't put the power in the duels, but like,
yeah.
They would have liked to have had something in paper, and I feel like this is what stemmed from that.
I think it's what stemmed from this is them looking during the years that SCG had the Legacy Opens, because that was only a year ago.
Yeah.
And this was well in plans at that point.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I think they was looking at the numbers from those events and said, you know what? There's a community out there that really likes this format. So let's support this format. And they came up with this set. And I think this is something that, you know, people are going to open these cards and they're going to start building these decks and they're going to go, mm-hmm. you know what? I want to get into this.
I want to play Legacy. This deck's awesome.
Because even though you'd watch the SCG events and you would see people, you know, playing nothing but dual lands, guess what? You don't need dual lands.
You don't.
In Legacy, you can use Shocklands.
I mean, you can play decks that have minimal mana requirements. You can do
yeah.
all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
there's definitely there's more than the three color blade decks that you see everyone running on the SCG.
Yeah, if you think that those four decks are the only decks in Legacy, you haven't played Legacy. Because trust me, you can build a jank piece of shit that beats those decks.
Yep.
Because, I mean, there's such a huge card pool that it operates on a completely different axis.
Mm-hmm.
So my last...
You get to play combo decks in Legacy.
Yes,
like
you do.
Real
combo
ones.
Decks. I can win on turn one if you don't have the answer.
Charbelcher.
Charbelcher.
It's in this set.
Yes, it is. A very fun and easy deck for a new player to get into. So
yeah.
if you crack a Charbelcher...
Bam.
I don't know what I call it easy.
Well, Charbelcher's like the... used to be quote unquote the expensive...
Charbelcher, I can sit down and explain to somebody with the cards... how to play out their cards, and they would do
yeah,
well
I mean,
it.
You, it's definitely,
it's, not
it's,
like,
it's good enough to win an yeah. FNM if, or something
like
that.
Like you
like
run Spirit
to,
Guys
to play
and
it at,
Seething Songs.
You know, there's definitely a learning curve just like any other deck.
Yeah, yeah absolutely.
You know? I mean, like, when your learning curve is just knowing how to, like, chain together your Spirit Guides and your Seething Songs, though.
I mean, it's,
well,
it's
level,
a lot of
that's
a
only
shorter,
level one,
yeah.
though.
It's,
you
know, it's
yeah,
there's
a lot of an easier learning
the,
curve, though,
the thing
compared
of it,
to other decks.
Okay, so think of it this way. What if I said that it was the red deck wins version of a combo deck?
There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Where, you know what? You can pick it up, you can figure it out, you can play it at a level, but to be a master of it, you're going to take it a
right,
little time.
Exactly. That's exactly the
yeah.
point I wanted to make.
Okay.
Yep.
So, I do have one little stupid question. What if they put you in charge of putting together a supplemental set like this?
Oh boy.
What would you come up with? I know dinosaurs, right?
Yeah.
Shut up.
I mean,
I know, but like, I can't do a supplemental set about dinosaurs. It has to be its own plane.
That my list probably would not look too different from the Eternal Masters. Like, a lot of the cards that I consider to be staples and, you know, really iconic and all that stuff, like, they hit. You know, it's basically like, they was like, okay, they were like, what cards do we really need to be in there? And then, you know, I mean, obviously the filler, I would be different, whatever.
Yeah, the filler would
I'm sure
be
I would have put
mainly,
Aloran in here and, you know, some other
Aloran.
Stuff.
That's mainly so, where I am too. Like, the filler yeah. is what got me. Like, even like the filler rares that they had to throw in.
Yeah.
Some of them, like, 8.5 tails.
I would probably, I mean, if just, I was given the opportunity to build one, like, I don't know that I would define the archetypes much more than they did, but I would tweak it a little bit so there mm-hmm. was...
Would you put Nettle Sentinel in with the elf support that's already there?
Probably. I would try to do something where it was like Reanimator, like I said, you know, like,
yeah.
I would really like to see the blue-black Reanimator deck be a thing,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, you can make it be a thing, but you have to open the right three packs.
Yeah.
or you have to get past the card because the three key pieces to it are at rare.
Yeah, like
at where you can put together the stream deck. Format.
Like, what's the blue Tidespell Tyrant? Like, put him in here.
I would have liked to see the storage lands for every color in this set too, but that's
I would have liked that over the cons lands, to be fair, like storage lands.
Original ones, not the reprint ones.
No.
Oh, the original ones sucked.
I know, but I would like to see them. You know, like not the dual colored ones. No. The single color storage
lands. Terrible ones.
Yes. How about all the single color and then the five dual and then all the dual colors too? Bam.
I wouldn't have minded seeing Rashad in port.
Yeah.
I would have liked
but
to see
you know
port.
What?
I would have liked that over Maze of Ith.
Yeah. EM2. Maze of Ith is way cooler.
It's just the only reason fear I have about Maze of Ith is like the one person who cracks it, but they have like, I don't like it being at rare. I don't know how impactful it could be in a draft game.
I don't think it's going to be as impactful as you want, as you believe it'll be.
Right.
The thing is, still be impactful. If you have a plan that focuses around on one huge creature, like a Sneak and Show or Reanimator plan, mm-hmm. It's going to be very impactful to you.
Yeah.
But if you come up with a swarm plan, it's only shutting down. It's just like
it's
the
same
as they have a 0/4.
Yeah, it's not going to do anything to like the elves deck, but like.
It's a blocker.
Yeah.
It's a blocker.
I have a 0/4. That's all it is.
I have a 0/30.
Yeah.
Take that.
I have a 0 Gleemax.
You have a dark steel mirror. You have a 0/1 dark steel mirror with flying.
Yeah. It's just, I can shut down your most powerful card, but I can't do anything about it. So it's fair.
Yeah. I mean, it's a master decoy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Blinding drone.
And they gave you an answer in the set in Wasteland.
Yeah.
It's not like.
So just draft Wasteland in your Reanimator deck, guys.
So just draft Wasteland if you probably open it, period.
I think that's the plan.
I don't think you pass Wasteland.
No.
No.
Maybe online.
No. I don't think you pass Wasteland.
No.
Really?
No.
I don't know how much it is online, so that's
more than it has nothing to do with money. I don't think you pass Wasteland.
It's a good card. It has something to do with money as well.
Yeah, it does, but I mean, there's utility. I mean, people are going to be playing two color decks. They're going to be trying to play these dual lands. They're going
to. If they get it.
They're fucking commons.
Yeah, they are, but.
They're going to get them.
It's not like where it was guaranteed like one of those per pack like it was when cons was out.
They're going to get them.
Okay.
Trust me. If you're the green-white drafter, you're going to get the green-white one.
I've done a lot of drafts with those type of lands and not seen a single one in that color, and I've seen four in a different color.
Ooh, is five color available?
Five color shrines.
Yes. I guarantee you five color is a thing.
Yeah. They released an article about the archetypes. Five color shrines is one of the bonus archetypes.
I'm gonna have fun with that. Anyway, we're gonna take a real quick break and we'll return to close this show out. Okay, so I legitimately have no clue how we forgot to bring this up, but over in Manchester, Fabrizio Antieri got disqualified from the Grand Prix. It's kind of funny that we forgot because we literally spent a half an hour talking about it before we even did the show, which is kind of funny, but he was taking his deck and manipulating it away so he would not be land screwed or flooded for his first couple rounds, and that is against the rules. It's called mana weaving. Don't do that. Like, don't cheat and stuff. All right? Got it? Good. So, gents, we are back. Let's close this show up. Will, what the fuck you been up to, man? How's them windows?
I did not have a great week this week.
Sorry?
No, it's cool. You know, my car broke down, which I talked about last week, but it's still broken down. And lost my job because of a reason that I'm not very happy with. My employer had one of his former employees come begging back for work to do it cheaper than I wanted to, so he let the other guy do it. And what I thought was turning into a long-term thing ended up being extremely temporary. And the guy handled it very poorly. He basically tried to deny ever having said anything good or long-term or talking to me about money. You know, he said from the beginning he was going to use me and discard me like a condom wrapper or whatever. It was pretty brutal. So I don't have a source of income right now.
I know where you're at. I think the exact same thing happened to me. I haven't worked in weeks because of basically the same reason, but just, my former employer didn't have the balls to even tell me.
Yeah, that's real shitty.
He won't even pick up the phone.
Exactly.
Call him, so,
you know, so crazy like,
things at the courthouse.
I have a working interview next week.
That's good.
Nice.
Yeah, I get to go down to Wheeling, West Virginia and wash some windows for a different company, and we'll see how that goes. I think it'll go pretty well, so I feel pretty good about it, but like, my refrigerator broke this week as Ooh. Well. Yeah, it's been a tough fucking week, man. Jeez,
when it rains.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, when it rains, but
how you be keeping your beer cold?
I drink it fast. I had a great week on Hearthstone.
That's one way.
Had a 9-win arena followed Ooh. By a 7-win arena.
I've never cracked 7.
Yeah.
I've had 6 a few times.
Dude, draft Paladin, man. Just draft Paladin is just the shit.
Yeah, Paladin's
in arena.
Paladin and Rogue are two of the best ones you can get in arena.
It's funny. I don't like Rogue. I'm not a Paladin player, and when I do draft it, I don't seem to do well with it because I'm not a Paladin player.
Yeah,
do
you get your consecrations? And I think that's really what it is. I align well, like my philosophy.
That's probably
thinks
why.
pretty well, or you know, goes pretty well with it. And like the one time I, you know, Liz opened it up and she's like, "Do I first pick this Tyrion Ford ring?" And I'm like, "Yes,
yes,
yes, you do."
No, I can do well with that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
I did one where I got 3 legends in an arena game.
Yeah. So it was good, man. But for the most part, I just have had a tough week.
Things seem to be looking up aside from the fridge.
We'll see, man. I gotta fix my car. You know, yeah. I got stuff to do, man. It's all stacking up but we'll be alright.
Good luck at the job interview.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna get paid while I'm doing it. So,
from what you've been telling me about your squeege action, seems
dude,
like you're,
I'll be
you're
fine.
In.
I'll be fine. You know, I'm pretty like, and I think I'd rather be, like, I was starting to have a problem with the guy I was working for anyway, because he was being shady about money and just not paying me what he was telling me he was going to.
Yeah,
so
that's
like,
all, never good.
So it's good, you know, this is a good thing. If I get this other job, I'll just be in the right place. Mm-hmm. So it'll be all right. What have you been up to this week, Mike?
Busy as hell at work.
It's home improvement season.
Memorial Day weekend, we had a Memorial Day sales going on.
Oh, yeah.
Like yesterday, which was actual Memorial Day, I had me and 3 others working at once. It's like, great. So before the 3rd guy came in though, our garden department has 7-9 associates there that day. They take my 2 associates to garden to help load mulch because those garden associates are all too busy.
And I knew you could handle it, Mike.
I was able to. And then today they just said, you got it yourself.
That's what happens when you prove yourself dependable. Yeah, they rely on you and abuse you.
Once you become useful.
Abuse is the key word.
I know, dude. My manager
called me, like, as I'm loading, guy got a cartload of 2x4s, a cartload of PT posts, and then a cartload of, 3/4 inch,
ply?
Yeah.
OSB?
Plywood.
Yeah,
but
that's
like,
thick plywood.
He had,
3/4 inch.
He had like 20 sheets.
It's nice plywood.
Yeah, it is. No, it's really
he had like
nice.
20 sheets of it. Yeah.
What type ply?
I can't remember.
Dude, I don't know.
I don't even want to remember. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I would notice those things. I'd be like, that's cherry ply. That's nice plywood. Nice. You know? But, that's OSB. That's pure shit.
I know it wasn't OSB, so. It was not OSB.
So this is a cabinet maker we're talking about, probably.
Probably.
Yeah. Sweet.
But, like, I'm in the middle of loading that first cart. My manager calls me, "Hey, could you move these chairs? I don't have time to do it." Yeah, I'll find time.
That's why
sometime.
He's the manager.
Right.
Guess what I never found time to do?
See, chairs. Mike, if you want to succeed and work your way up in the company, you have to spend as little time doing anything as possible. That's who always is the manager.
Oh, yeah, yep. I know.
You have to prove that you have delegation
and
skills.
Disappear.
Yes, delegation
and then
skills.
Disappear at random times.
That's what it's about. Yeah.
Delegation skills is a thing, dude. Like, if they see that you can convince other people to do your work for you, they will move you to a higher spot in the company. It sounds absolutely backwards.
Fucked. Yeah, I know.
But it's...
I'm the person who's been told to do the other people's work because...
And then you say yes.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, go fuck yourself.
No, I've been saying yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's the mistake.
Yeah.
It's a trap.
You'd be shocked at what go fuck yourself would do for you.
Last week there was one day I knew he gave me the list he was supposed to do because it's like, I work in the lot, so I'm supposed to handle like the lumber, lifting things, cleaning up the parking lot carts and trash, whatever. He goes, "You need to clean department or aisle 37, which is electrical." I'm like, "That's electrical. I'm not cleaning electrical. Put the pallets away in receiving, which is receiving's job. Why is this on my list?" Oh yeah, I'll scratch that out. Then he wrote the same thing 2 different times in 2 different ways. I'm like, why is this on here 3 times? Scratch this out. You know, you have to put together this picnic table. Shouldn't that be lumber's job? Yeah. And they just gave me the list and walked away.
Yeah, I'd have took that much, threw it in the fucking garbage. would have went and found me a nice cool spot and chilled.
Yeah. Our flooring associate did the same thing. He goes to him, he's like, what's this? He goes, well, our manager told us to hand you this. Our flooring associate goes, why don't you do it? Why are you giving it to me?
Yeah, it sounds like your manager has learned that you're a hard worker and that you will do other people's work.
Yeah.
That's not where you want to be.
No.
Speaking from a person who is that guy, don't be that guy.
Yeah, like,
it took me years to learn to not do that. And and when I did do it, because they got used to me doing it, mm-hmm. it ruffled feathers.
Yeah.
Like, it created real problems because I did it for years.
Yeah.
And then when I finally was like, fuck you, no, I'm done doing this shit for everybody else.
Yeah.
It became an issue with my company.
Yeah.
Because it was like, well, this work always got done before. Yeah, well, that's because I was doing fucking work for four people, and now I'm not. I'm doing my job.
I'm almost to that point. I'm trying not to. But, like, depending on how busy of a day we get and they try to do that, then it's like, look, I can try to get to it. I probably don't. I might not have time, but I'll try.
Yeah. I mean, on a slow day, it's cool to have something to do.
We're busy as hell.
When you're busy, fuck it. I ain't doing nothing extra. You can kiss my dick.
Yeah, I was sweating up a storm, went home, ate,
I'd prefer it if
out.
You kissed my dick, actually.
Right on the bell end. No. Give me a nice French kiss right on the bell end.
Yeah, when I'm not...
Probably three or four minutes.
When I haven't been at work, I've been playing Smite, and I got Overwatch.
Overwatch came out. Really good, I'm sure.
It's real fun.
Yeah, I bet.
Cool.
Like, it takes a little bit of MOBA with, like, having your abilities to cast.
Yeah.
First-person shooter.
It's Team Fortress.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I always say, like, first-person shooters. I've never been a fan of them.
That's what you said.
And
I'm so surprised. You seem like a guy who would like them.
Yeah, I just never been able to get into them hardcore, and it's just like...
I think you'd enjoy Overwatch.
I don't know,
it's
dude.
It's not so much... I mean, it's definitely a first-person shooter, but it is
you have characters
more
that
about
have
your abilities
guns.
And your special powers than it is your ability to shoot someone.
Yeah, yep. Like, even when I played Skyrim, like, I got away from the first-person shooter.
I did not like Skyrim. I do not like Oblivion fucking Bethesda games. They make great games that look like shit.
I thought Skyrim was good.
I thought Skyrim was great, and I play it, but I thought it would have been better if they did it differently and you didn't only have two abilities.
I feel like they dropped the ball on Elder Scrolls Online.
I know people who love that game.
Yeah,
I love Skyrim. Me and a couple other people played Skyrim for endless hours each day, lost countless hours of sleep. We had Elder Scrolls Online, played it for a week, and then returned it.
I don't know. I know people who really like it.
It looks really good. It didn't do what we were used to with Elder Scrolls games of catching the somewhat feel of the previous game. Like, you get a little bit of it.
I did not like the previous feel. They get into the 5-button deal where you get more control and more mm-hmm. things to do with your character. That was always my problem with that.
Yeah.
With the Bethesda games.
But yeah, pretty much just been getting my ass kicked at work this past week.
Good for you.
And probably still for the rest of this week, and probably the rest of the summer.
As you deserve.
Yeah. So what you been up to?
I've had an up and down kind of week. Like, bills are piling up very badly.
Okay.
I'm getting back to the point where, like, jail's a possibility?
Yeah, that's
like, getting you back to that point again?
Yeah. Because, again, like, you know, I lost my job. I didn't know I lost my job. Thanks.
Yeah. Were you under the table pay, though?
Yeah.
That's one of the issues about that, then. He doesn't have to tell you crap because you're not a contract or anything.
So, yeah, I kind of got screwed there. But, you know, all right, whatever. I did receive a job offer yesterday, which was Memorial Day, which I thought was weird.
I saw you post about that.
All
the, like, numbers and everything legit?
Yeah. I mean, the company's legit. Everything's legit. It came from I posted a resume on, like, a website.
Oh, and it sends them out to various companies?
Yeah, and they found... Dude, I did this a year ago. They actually found it digging. You know, because after a year of non-activity, they just kind of mm-hmm. hide it, but they leave it there.
Yeah.
And if you put in certain qualifications and certain skills, a list of names pops up.
Mm-hmm.
And they dug and found my name and found my resume and was like, oh, okay, cool. You fit mostly what we want.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple problems with it. One, it's in sales, which I really have never been, well, I mean, I've done sales before, but
not legally.
Yeah.
But it's about things you know about.
But yeah, the products, sales is about I know
people.
Everything.
Yeah. Sales is about people.
Yeah.
Can you communicate with people in a friendly manner?
Absolutely. I think so. If I have to.
At least while on the clock.
Yeah, if I have to. Absolutely.
If you're on the clock, go ahead.
Yeah, but I know everything about the products. So,
that's a big thing.
I have field experience with the products. I know how they work. I can explain them at a level that your average rube who's out in the field can understand, where a lot of times you'll call into these places and you'll be like, I need mixing directions for, you know, this chemical. And they're like, they start breaking down math problems for you. Like huge algebraic equations. And it's like, you know, that dude probably didn't finish high school, right? You know?
Like, it's harder to teach people the products. It's easier to teach people how to sell the products.
Yeah. And so. I can probably, you know, give people a better idea, because I know I've called into those places before and I've been like, okay, so what's the application rate for this quinclorox? Quinclorox is a chemical that for some reason kills crabgrass but leaves all other grass perfectly fine. And it's like, so what's the application rate? How many bottles should I put in a 200-gallon tank? And then, you know, they start breaking down, well, what you need to do is you need to break down what 1,000 square feet, how much product, how much water
do I know square feet of water for?
Yeah, well, you got to find out what your spray rate is, and then from there you apply it to, you know, how much per acreage of this product, and it's all kinds of craziness like that. Well, I can just go, when I did it for a 200-gallon tank, you need about a bottle and a half. You know,
seems easier.
And I can tell you the correct way to do it, and I can tell you how I've done it.
But the way you did it got the job done.
But, so. But the thing is, if you move faster than me,
you might.
That number has to go up.
Yeah.
If you move slower than me, that number has to go down a little bit. So there is a little bit of that. But yeah, I can help people out with that. The problem with the job is it's in Knoxville, Tennessee.
It's a nice place.
It is, but it's not here.
It's a bit far away.
I'd have to uproot my life. I would have to uproot my wife.
Yeah.
So like, you know, there's a real decision here, and basically like I'm talking back and forth with them now about numbers.
Mm-hmm. And if they want to pay you a ton of money, man, I'm pretty sure you should go.
If the numbers are right, because it's a very cheap area of the country to live.
It's true. My brother lives down there.
So if the numbers are right, I will be leaving the Pittsburgh area. And this could happen as soon as 2 weeks from now.
Okay.
So what does that mean for the Pit Imps?
Skype might be coming back. If
immediately, we're going to continue the show. If I do get this job, we'll probably take a couple weeks off while I figure things out.
Yeah.
You know, cause I'm gonna have to set up a spot to do the show and everything else down there. And, you know, we probably will be Skype or one of those programs for a while. I'd probably like to find a better one than Skype, cause we've had problems with Skype.
Yeah.
We've had Robot Will. We've had me dropping.
Yeah. I've had recording issues with the Skype recorder, and that hasn't gotten any better from what everyone tells me. So I'm, you know, looking at maybe like TalkShoe or one of them instead. But eventually Pit Imps will be back, I think, unless I just go down there and quit Magic.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Neither really do I, to be honest. I mean,
you'll say you'll quit, then there'll be one weekend, and you're like, "It's a Friday, I'm off early."
Yeah,
I'll find a shop.
But outside of that, I am still looking for work. I mean, been trying, you know, putting in applications at many different places.
Seems like a great offer you got, though.
Yeah, it's
the fact that they're willing to work on numbers with you.
It's an offer, but it's not a sure thing yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a tentative. You have every qualification we need. And we're looking for, and we have an interest in hiring you, but you don't have it yet. So I still have to go through the fucking, jump through the
And I'm sure you're not the only one that they interview. Yeah. So
like, I still have, you know, hoops to jump through. So yeah, I'm still looking for work. I've been gaming a lot, playing old games. Like,
good for you.
GTA 5, I set out a goal a long time ago to get 100% completion with a gold on every mission. I could not complete this because of a glitch on the PS3 version.
Oh.
Where there was one thing where you had to get 10 headshots on this one mission, but for some reason it would stop at 9, even though you'd kill 23 people That's with awful. Headshots.
Yeah.
So, like, this glitch...
Fucked your life up, man.
So, like, I had to quit trying. Well, the glitch got fixed, so now I'm going back, and I'm like, oh, okay, now I gotta go back and finish all these other missions that I said fuck it to.
Because you're so pissed about the one.
Yeah, it didn't matter. I can't do this. So, like, I'm going back, and I'm... finishing that up, and that obviously takes time because I had to start all over again because you know me.
I started a video game over again recently too, so I'm just like living in Square Enix land right now.
The shirts was a success.
Good. Unfortunately, I missed this one.
We sold three past my goal, which, you know, made me happy.
I definitely should have.
Yeah, I missed
shirts.
This one. It had my payment info wrong, and I didn't see the email until last night. So I'm like, why haven't I gotten a notification about, you know, the payment went through? Then I saw I had an email from 3 days ago that for some reason my payment info is wrong.
Oops.
Like, the way my address gets entered, like, sometimes you have to add Patterson Heights onto my street address because sometimes it'll end up in Beaver Falls instead.
Okay.
So, and then it's like, hey, this isn't correct. Click here to confirm that this is correct. So I clicked here to confirm this is correct and everything went through. Well, apparently they...
It didn't match your bank?
No, like, that's not a problem. Like, my bank knows this already.
Okay.
But for some reason, it had went back and said, no, this isn't the right address.
Oh.
Like, okay. The billing address was fine, and...
Well, that sucks. Neither one of us got a shirt.
I forgot.
I wanted to. My brother got a shirt. I'll steal it off of him eventually.
Also, birthday. My birthday's Thursday.
Oh.
That's true.
So this should be coming out on your birthday, possibly.
Yeah, so I don't know what I'm going to do. I have no money to do anything good, so I'm just going to hang and try to have a day of no stress.
Oh, the X-Men movie was great, by the way. There you go. I did go see that.
Oh, okay.
It was actually really good.
That's different.
No shit.
I actually liked it better than Civil War.
Wow.
Yes.
That's, wow. Okay. I'll give it a shot then. I think I'm supposed, maybe, because, like, I'm either going hiking with Buttercup and Will.
Yeah, I'm super into the plan of hiking.
Or I have to take my wife to the movies.
Oh, yeah, because she didn't get to go when we went to Civil War.
Yeah, and we were supposed to go Saturday, but both of us slept in. And
yeah, X-Men's were good.
Yeah, things happened, and so it's like, we might go to the movies this week. If not, I'll be going hiking.
Well, Buttercup and Liz and I will be hiking at McConnell's Mills on Saturday.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's that. We do have one question, for this week. Do we have thoughts on any of the rarity shifts in Eternal Masters? I think most of them are right.
Yeah.
I am somewhat concerned about Nimbamongus.
Being a common?
I do, worry about that.
For draft reasons or for
Wasn't
proper
it a common
reasons?
Before?
No, it was uncommon.
It was? Okay.
Yeah. I think if Popper is the blue-green madness deck has definitely been pushed really hard, and that is going to be a real big piece.
Didn't you already have Wild Mongrel?
You had Wild Mongrel, you had Arrogant Worm, which was printed at common in Vintage Masters, and then you had Circular Logic was also printed at common. So it has all these cheater cards that weren't actually commons that are now in it. So, like, I think that that's something to look out for. But as far as, like, dollar value reasons, I didn't see anything that was, like, glaringly weird, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, you definitely can't make Call of the Skybreaker at uncommon.
Yeah,
that would
no.
be, like,
no.
the worst, like, most imbalanced
I saw some
thing
weird
ever.
Rare choices, but I didn't see, like, some weird...
I mean, like...
cards to put into that rarity, but
the
they
elf,
should have been that rarity.
The elf...
Which elf?
The one that you can...
Deathrite Shaman?
Heritage Druid.
Rare?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard a lot of people complain about that.
Druid?
Yeah.
The Druid? That was a rare.
No, uncommon.
It was an uncommon.
From Stronghold?
Yeah. No, the one that lets you tap three elves to add three mana.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not... Is that Heritage Druid?
Yeah, that's Heritage Druid.
Oh, I'm thinking of Hermit Druid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Heritage Druid.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I've heard
is
a lot
it
of people complain about that.
It's a rare now. It used to be an uncommon. It lets three random elves make mana on the turn they come into play because it's the ability that taps them, not the elf
itself. Yeah,
no,
I know. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think most of the rare shifts were correct.
Yeah, for sure.
One other question somebody asked me if I was going to start streaming again. That was from Evil Mono. I won't know until I find out for sure what's going on with this job in Knoxville. Yep. If I end up in Knoxville, because really the only people I know right now in Knoxville is... There's one guy on Twitter who follows me whose name escapes me, and Houston.
From Tap and Sack.
Yeah, from Tap and Sack. So, like,
I'm sure I could find the Magic community pretty easily
with them, but at the same time, like, I'm also sure I'll be doing a lot of online gaming.
Yeah.
You know, especially when I'm trying to get used to this new job.
Okay, Slick.
And then Slick has a fucking page here.
Well, he had to say a question for the week. Like, those are words he could have cut out.
Yeah, so what do you guys think will become the future of Constructed on NTGO with the commitment to Phantom Constructed cues when you get a meta deck to play in an 8-man. I think there's still Phantom events, and I think the people who want to try and profit are still going to play the real deck.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah,
there's not
going
to be a
versions.
Phantom daily or Phantom mocks. You're still going to need the actual cards to play in the mocks tournaments.
Well, and the prize payout is totally different,
yeah,
I'm sure, as well.
And
so.
you can't even do a PPTQ on Modo without actual cards.
Exactly.
Strangely, I don't think it's going to affect the MTGO constructed scene all that much. I think what it's going to do is it's going to affect GP constructed scenes. Because now testing is going to be stupid easy for everybody.
Yeah. I'm just going to do Phantom.
Yeah. I'll just do Phantom for the next week and I'll play every
and then
constructed
if
deck
I wanted
40
you
times.
You don't need anyone in your testing group. You don't need to be social in any way. It's like, what would Shota do?
Yeah.
Right? Just everyone gets to be Shota now.
Yeah. Like you would do that and it's like, oh, well, I would have liked this card in this matchup for your sideboard. So like you maybe after playing it so much online, okay, maybe I'll switch this one card in the sideboard for when you get it to paper. But, like, it really takes away a lot of your testing needs. It makes it a lot easier for a lot of people.
I mean, we'll see if the Phantom, like, does tilt the constructed cues, but, I mean, constructed, in my opinion, is a very easy way to go infinite in Magic Online. You can actually make money. You can profit doing it. And as long as you can continue to do that, people will do that.
Like, I'm actually liking this because I haven't been playing a lot of Standard. I'm sure we talk about Standard every couple weeks or whenever there's a GP, but, like, I don't play. So, like,
this lets me play nearly as much recently.
Not recently. Like, I don't like, I'm not a huge fan of the deck I have. I'd rather finish out Affinity before I build a Standard deck again. I'm gonna have to build one for the GP, but like that's for the GP. Like,
yeah, obviously.
Like I know a lot of people I could probably bomb some cards off of.
I think I'm going to that.
Yeah,
I think I'm playing it is what I should say. Like, I mean,
in the main, because
you've gone to GPs.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if I am yet.
Yeah, I think I'm playing the main. It's all a financial thing at this point.
Yeah,
it's all.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like I don't. I plan on going to GP Columbus, so like two GPs, I definitely am going to need to be working if I'm going to be doing that.
I know there's one in August, Will. If you don't go to the one in Pittsburgh, I might be planning on going to that I'm assuming Jesse will go to.
Jesse will go to all of them.
It's a modern one.
Yeah, I will be going to the modern one. Yeah. But I have my deck already, and so, I love the format.
But like I like the fact, like even for you and me, it'll help us a lot with the Phantom.
I think the Phantom is great for testing, but again, like the guys who want to profit...
Else.
They're still going to play the games that they can profit off.
It just makes testing easier.
Yeah.
And you can do it, like, say you want to test on this night that you're free, but your testing buddies are at work.
It will drop some of the cues because some players are buying these decks for testing reasons. Mm-hmm. Like, I won't say that that's absolutely not going to happen.
Yeah. You know, the non-Phantom 8-man cues are going to drop.
Yeah, I think.
But at the same, like.
But I still think that they're going to be. I still think they're going to fire. I don't think it's going to kill them.
You play a random deck when you play in the Phantom.
Yes.
That is not good testing if you have a deck that you want to test with.
Yeah, once you know your deck.
It's good for format knowledge.
Yeah,
and finding a deck you want. This is pointless.
It also helps you find what deck you want to lock yourself into.
Yeah, that's what it does. That's what it does.
It's not like the Sealed Phantoms.
No.
Where the Sealed Phantoms just lock you into a GP. You're just like, okay, I got all the knowledge I need.
Yep.
Where
who cares
in this,
about having
you
cards
have to know
online.
How to run that deck specifically. Mm-hmm. So like Will said, once you've locked into your deck, you're done using it for testing.
Absolutely.
But it will create a better
you,
general knowledge
for everybody.
It gives
you format knowledge.
Yeah.
Format knowledge is always very, very important.
Yep. So yeah, that's it. Another question.
Thanks, Slick.
Not for the cat. Do you guys only record on weeknights? Yes.
As of right now.
Slick, you should come out from Philly.
I concur. If you come out from Philly...
We'll find a weekend.
I mean, we can record something, dude. I mean, that's just how it is.
Like, I don't work weekends. I have time.
So, yeah. Will, if people wanted to get a hold of you, what smoke signal should they put in the air?
Oh, man. hey, I have enough to share.
That would help.
So, if you wanted to look upon my beautiful visage... or see or hear my voice in real time, you should come to twitch.tv/pit_imps. And you should come there probably next Tuesday, approximately 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can look at not only me, because we all know you want to see me, but there's two other beautiful men here as well.
Thank you for that compliment.
Yes.
I was at one time. I'm an ugly sumbitch now.
I think there's some more beauty under this beard, but the hockey's still going on, so...
Oh my goodness, the playoffs.
Yeah.
I just shaved mine. Dude,
I'm at the point of the Pens win. Do I just keep it going until next playoffs?
The thing is, like, Sid touched the trophy, so obviously all these fucking traditions mean nothing.
In 09 we touched the trophy.
And we won. All these traditions and all these bullshit superstitions mean jack shit.
Yeah.
The fact that you're growing a beard, the team doesn't know and it has no outcome on the game.
It's just
the gods.
The fates. I grow the beard regardless, it's an excuse to not have to trim it all the time.
I get it. I do the same thing in November.
I don't have to
Angelo,
trim it.
How would people get a hold of you?
If you want to get a hold of me, you can find me at Gonksu on Twitter. It's GANKSUOU. Same thing on Magic Online when I'm on there. I haven't been on there nearly as much recently. Gonksu number,
13?
Pound sign, whatever you want to call it, 1322, hashtag. and pitintpodcast@gmail.com is any place you could send. Something a little more long form would be the correct place. Did we get you already?
No, but no one cares.
That's a good point. So next week, we're going to go over GP Costa Rica.
You'll put my Twitter in the description.
Yeah, it'll be
in
the description. Next week, we're going to go over GP Costa Rica, which is standard. So we'll see if the red Udelmog comes back.
We'll see.
Or some new concoction.
Hopefully we see some more shifting. Less green-white.
Yes. So that'll be our show for tonight. But until next week.
Oh, fuck it all.
It's cock or nothing.
Have a good one, folks. Go fuck yourself.